Welcome in, podcast listeners. We have got a loaded show for you. A lot of different guests, obviously breaking down all of the angles of the Tiger Woods traffic accident. Hopefully he is going to be fine. Chantel McCabe from the Golf Channel comes by. Jonathan Hutton, one of the newest OutKick employees. Jeff Schwartz, as well as Petros Papadakis. This accident happened right down the road from his home. All of that rolling your direction. It'll be the OutKick show. It's usually live from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, but you get the podcast, and it begins right now.
OutKick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for OutKick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
The big story that is out there, and unfortunate for many of you, I'm sure, because I bet you had the same thoughts echoing in your mind as I did, and that is in particular Tiger Woods with his car crash incident in southern LA that made so many people, I think, out there think about what was going on and happened with Kobe Bryant and the helicopter crash a little over a year ago, also in Southern California. Everybody already knows the story, but in the event that you have been somewhere out there and haven't been paying attention and you've just turned on the radio, Tiger Woods appears that he is going to be eventually fine after a rollover incident that required the jaws of life to be used to pull him out of his vehicle. And I will read for you the statement that was put out. There was then a press conference later in the afternoon on Tuesday as everybody kind of walked through everything that had to be said about the incident with Tiger Woods. And I think a lot of times using primary sources is probably the best opportunity because there are so many different early reports. And fortunately, most of these early reports were not like the Kobe Bryant situation, where there ended up being a lot of falsehoods out there. But this was the statement that the LA County Sheriff's put out on Tuesday afternoon. They said on February 23rd at approximately 7:12 a.m., the LA Sheriff's Department responded to a single vehicle rollover traffic collision on the border of Rolling Hills Estates and Rancho's Palos Verdes. The vehicle was traveling northbound on Hawthorne Boulevard at Black Horse Road. When it crashed, the vehicle sustained major damage. The driver and sole occupant was identified as PGA golfer Eldrick Tiger Woods. Mr. Woods was extricated from the wreck with the jaws of life by Los Angeles County firefighters and paramedics, then transported to a local hospital by ambulance for his injuries. The traffic investigation is being conducted by investigators from the LA Sheriff's Department. So that is the report that was officially out there. Additional reports about the injuries that he sustained have suggested that that is mostly lower body leg injuries. Tiger Woods, of course, has had so many different surgeries over the years for a variety of problems, most recently for his back, which has made it so difficult for him to be able to play golf at a high level. He's now 45 years old, and I know a little bit about what exactly was going on this morning, and some of this information has been published out there. Tiger Woods was filming on Monday a sort of a new show concept on a golf course in Los Angeles. He was filming alongside of guys like Dwayne Wade and David Spade. They were doing a show that was basically described to me as kind of the equivalent of Comedians in Cars, except it's golf course with Tiger Woods. And so you can see why, if you're a golfer, the best possible opportunity you could be given is to be able to go golf with Tiger Woods. And so they had lined up a lot of different celebrities to spend the day hanging out with Tiger Woods and see exactly what was going to be happening. So there are some interesting and sort of fascinating sets about that. But David Spade and Dwayne Wade both put out the pictures of them playing alongside of Tiger Woods on Monday. And then I was told that Drew Brees showed up on Tuesday morning as the earliest guest who was going to be playing against Tiger Woods. And they were set there to film on that golf course, and celebrities play with Tiger Woods. And so Drew Brees is there, and they're trying to figure out what's going on. And there isn't anybody that is that's arriving, right? Tiger Woods is not arriving at the golf course. So Drew Brees is standing around waiting to see what exactly is going on there. And there later was scheduled to be Justin Herbert coming in the afternoon, among others. And Tiger Woods did not show up that morning. And everybody on the film crew was waiting at the golf course, uncertain. He wasn't answering his cell phone. Nobody knew exactly what was going on with Tiger Woods after he had spent all day Monday filming with those guests, among others, Dwayne Wade and David Spade. So then the news breaks about the traffic accident and the fact that Tiger Woods is going to have surgery, and that he had to be rescued with the jaws of life. And everybody at the golf course is obviously incredibly, incredibly overwhelmed with that incident, and wishing Tiger Woods the best. But that was what he was traveling to on that Tuesday morning, to be there to play golf alongside of Drew Brees, and later in the day, Justin Herbert. And again, on Monday, he had played, among others, with Dwayne Wade and David Spade, and there was an entire camera crew there to film the interaction between the two of them. And the idea, the conceit of it is, again, it's kind of like Comedians in Cars, the Jerry Seinfeld special, but instead it's Tiger Woods playing golf. So that is the background as to where Tiger Woods was headed. Now, a lot of you out there probably start to experience stories like these, and it makes you for me, the way that I respond to stories like these now that I'm a dad is, anytime parents of young children are involved in a accident like this, my first thought is about the kids. I mean, it really is. Because we just saw very recently that iconic, it feels like already, video of Tiger Woods following his son Charlie around, and also of Charlie Woods' swing being a perfect mirror image in many ways of Tiger Woods. And whether you're a dad or a mom out there, I feel like many of you have the same experience that I did when I became a dad a long time ago now, it feels like. I feel like I've been a dad forever. But when I was 28 years old and I had my first son was born, the first thing you think as a dad or a mom is, I want to be there for this child until they're an adult. I really don't worry about anything in my life. I'm not a worrier in general, but I do worry about being there for my kids and making sure that I can get them to adulthood. And I think that's almost the first reaction that every single parent has. And you might have heard your own parents talk about it. But until you are a dad or a mom yourself, or until you have responsibilities for young children, you don't really know what that feeling is to so desperately just want to get them into adulthood. Get them through high school, get them through college, give them an opportunity to be able to get out into the world and for you to raise them as best you can. It's such a tremendous feeling of responsibility. And one of the first things I thought was about Kobe Bryant, because, again, of the location in Los Angeles and the wreckage, and it just brought back what happened with Kobe a year ago. But almost immediately after the Kobe thought was thinking about Tiger Woods' two young children. And we experienced Tiger Woods as this luminescent, transcendent athlete, one of the best golfers in the history of the world, if not the best, depending on who exactly is arguing on any given day. But for his two kids, he's just dad. And especially for those being young kids, we may want to see Tiger Woods have another moment like he did at Eastlake Country Club down in Atlanta, or like he did as he walked up to the green at Augusta, being able to triumph against all odds one last time to put on that green jacket. But really, I guarantee you, if we had Tiger Woods on right now, what he's thinking about, I guarantee you, when he's laying there in that car, is not about anything having to do with golf. He's thinking about his kids and how he wants to be there for them, because that's what dads and moms do, and that's what dads and moms think. And so I even remember Tiger Woods, and we're going to talk with Petros Papadakis. We're scheduled to in the final hour of the show. I even remember Tiger Woods talking about how when he was in such excruciating pain in his back, he wasn't necessarily thinking about being able to play golf. He was thinking about being able to be a dad. And you hear a lot of athletes talk about that, particularly ones who put their bodies on the line, football, for instance, and how they are concerned about being able to chase around their kids when they get older to see whether or not they're going to have that same ability and that sort of flexibility in the body to be able to do that. And it is such a powerful thought for any parent out there, and such a terrifying thought that you might not be there for them. So I'm glad that it appears Tiger Woods is going to be okay in terms of being able to recover. I think certainly there will be plenty of time into the future to talk about the legacy of Tiger Woods as a golfer and whether he's able to extend that legacy, or whether these injuries become so significant that a comeback from them is going to be incredibly difficult or not. That is a conversation that I'm sure will be discussed in the weeks and months and even some days potentially ahead. But in the meantime, I'm just glad that he was able to survive that, what looks like an awful rollover incident in the southern part of the Los Angeles metropolitan area. And I hope that that he is going to be able to recover. And I thank all of the time, as we always should, and we always do on this show at least, all the first responders who got there and were able to get Tiger Woods out of that house, out of that car, and get him moved to a hospital so he can begin the process of recovery from all of the injuries that he suffered. Those are my thoughts. That's where Tiger Woods was headed. We will continue to break down this story, certainly, as we move forward. Also going to talk some NFL. We've got a loaded group of guests that are scheduled to join us. Up next, we are scheduled to be joined by Chantel McCabe. She worked for a long time at the Golf Channel. She has come to cover Tiger Woods for a substantial period of time as well. What is her perspective on Tiger Woods and his ability to potentially come back from this injury, but also what that Augusta win meant for the overall legacy of Tiger Woods? We'll discuss that a bit with her as well. And trust me, we're going to continue to break down the latest in the world of sports beyond Tiger, talking NFL also. But obviously, Tiger Woods in that story is the one that is at the top of the leaderboard in terms of the overall stories that are motivating people as we begin this Wednesday.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
We bring in now Chantel McCabe, who was at the Golf Channel for a long time, and obviously Tiger Woods synonymous in many ways with the Golf Channel, because anytime he was in a tournament for years and years, the ratings would skyrocket, and so everybody competed to see whether or not they would make the Tiger circuit or not. Chantel, thanks for getting up early with us. What do you think, as you're breaking down the Tiger Woods story, when you heard about the traffic accident and everything else, what were the first thoughts that you had?
Well, you hit the nail on the head, Clay, because it is such a game changer having him as part of the sport still at 45, and not just playing but competing, and the way that he's mentored a lot of these younger players. I mean, you think about back to the beginning of his career in 1997 in the Hello World, and winning the Masters in 1997 by a significant margin and really making a splash on the scene. That has not gone away for decades now. And so I'm sure, just like everyone else watching it, I mean, it eerily reminded me of Kobe Bryant from last year.
Yeah.
You were watching it unfold on the news, and you're starting to, like, reality is creeping into your own mind. You're getting chills. Like, I mean, it's almost like your body is paralyzed. Like, this isn't real. This isn't happening. This is a kind of a dream. But I really feel for not just all of the fans and the people who knew him, but you think about his family, because imagine going through this, watching your father, your son, for Erica, your boyfriend, even for his agent, Merk Steinberg, someone who's been by his side for years and years and years. I mean, we're all absorbing this from afar, and people who knew him passing or interviewing or just knew him as a fan. But to watch this unfold on national TV, you're trying to obviously get through the grief of what could play out, all the scenarios, trying to get clarity and answers, but then I have to deal with this publicly. I mean, you can't turn it off. So obviously there's accidents like this every day, but to have to go through that with his two children and his girlfriend and his mom and all of the people that are really close to his circle, I mean, this really, really has to sting.
We're talking. So one of the things that I think is so fascinating about Tiger Woods is I can't think of any other sports figure that has ever been covered the way that Tiger Woods was and to some extent still is. And what I mean by that is there are lots of really good athletes who aren't necessarily great husbands or who don't have fantastic marriages. In fact, you might even argue that that might be common, right? Like more common than not. Yet most of those stories never really go public. We never really get into the inner workings of a relationship. I can't even think, and I'm curious if you can, of a athlete who has been covered like Tiger Woods has. And this may be a crazy analogy, but Britney Spears, you know, they recently had a documentary about her. I know the Tiger Woods documentary is out. But Tiger got
kind of crazy.
Yeah, Tiger got covered. They're kind of the same generation, right? Tiger got covered like he was an entertainment celebrity when his life blew up in a way that athletes usually don't. Do you buy into that as a thesis that there really isn't a comparable athlete to Tiger in terms of the way the media covered him and his private life? I'm not talking about, look, LeBron gets covered to the nth degree, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, all of them. But usually that's focused on their on the court or on the field excellence. And that's normal when you are a superstar athlete. I'm not sure the private life of an athlete has ever been plumbed the same way it was to Tiger, to the extent that I believe his yacht is called Privacy. Like that's what he wanted maybe more than anything else, particularly as a guy who was thrust into the media spotlight at such a young age.
Yeah, I did not expect you to come out with the parallel of Tiger Woods and Britney Spears, but it is kind of eerie that both of those documentaries have come to light at the same time.
I've watched parts of both of them, and I'm sure some of my audience has. And I, you know, when I saw the Tiger Woods accident, I thought to myself, you know, there are some eerie similarities in that they're not that far off in age, right? I think Britney Spears 38 or so, Tiger Woods 45. I'm kind of directly in between them at 41, but I feel like I'm of both of their generations. And the way that they were covered is now we're kind of retrospectively analyzing it and saying, hey, was that fair or not?
Yeah, no, bingo, because I have a thing with people in media and the fact that, of course, we're going to cover what's hot and what's popular when people put themselves out there. And when you're making music or you're the best in whatever field that may be, especially in entertainment and sports, as we all know, is quite frankly entertainment, you're going to be scrutinized. I don't think that there is any degree that comes close to the way that Tiger Woods is scrutinized. And hey, before I covered sports, I mean, I was, you know, still in middle school and high school when stuff came out with Tiger Woods that was very damaging to his reputation. And I remember thinking back then, as someone who hasn't really lived through much life, oh my God, that's so awful. How could that happen? And then you kind of like grow up with these people and then you realize life happens and they're not glamorous and bad things happen. And I really do think that fame is poison because you're always chasing these things and you'll never get satisfaction or fulfillment from them. So I don't think this is just something that's exclusive to Britney Spears or Tiger Woods. I think this is something that, especially in the social media age, it's going to only become more common. And life and fame and money, these all tempt you and you go down rabbit holes and you look for fulfillment where it's not. And when it comes to Tiger Woods, like I said, I was so disappointed hearing that, and you know, back in the day. And then he really has turned so many people around with their thinking, myself included, because, and this is not bias, I'd be the first person to call someone out for their BS, but I am amazed by how genuine a lot of these younger players really get into talking about him and what he has done for their careers. Of course, he's still competing against them side by side, but, you know, Justin Thomas is someone, former number one player himself, who has a great career still ahead of him, but he has relied and leaned on Tiger as a mentor so much. And that's not something you saw in the early days. And don't get me wrong, I love that killer instinct, that guy who was going to steer you down and not talk to you the entire Sunday of a final round. But what he has turned into has become almost really down to earth in a way. He's more approachable, and I know the media loves covering him because he's a lot more easier to deal with. He still doesn't tell you much when you interview him. He just was on with Jim Nantz on Sunday asking about his most recent injury. I mean, this poor guy has been through everything your body can possibly take and continues to be there. I mean, just in 2019, he's the President's Cup playing captain, so he's literally in the trenches with these guys, and they not only looked up to him, now they have a really special opportunity to play by him and pick his brain. And I think that is really, really special how he's really become a big brother to a lot of the players, the top players in the world now, while he still competes. But it is such a fascinating case study, like what our media, what social media and us as reporters, what we dive into. I don't always think it's fair. As I've gotten older, I have to take a step back and say, okay, it's a really murky line to cross between covering these people who do put themselves out there. And I mean, pointing back to the PNC Championship, he played with his son Charlie, and we're kind of like getting a little weird about how awkward it is that grown men are like freaking out over Charlie Wood's swing. But to be fair, you know, he's agreeing to play in this, and he's, you know, doing the fist pump and, you know, holding his pose, and it's captivating, and he's putting himself in front of cameras. So it is such a murky water to try to weed out what's morally appropriate and what's not, you know?
It is really fascinating, because I think about watching some of the Tiger Woods documentary. If Tiger Woods' marriage with Elin blows up, and it doesn't blow up in a wrecked car, police being called situation, right? It just blows up like most marriages blow up, right? Both sides don't decide they don't want to be together anymore. Most of it never really goes public, which is what happens with most, not all, but most celebrity divorces. I don't know that Tiger Woods ever gets covered to the extent that he did, right? I mean, it was that incident where he wrecked his car, and all the reports about what might have set off that that domestic dispute that sort of turned Tiger Woods' private life into a fertile news story. And again, in a way, I don't know the, like, I think this is such an interesting thing to think about, you know, 15, 20 years later, whatever it's been since that initial incident happened. I'm not sure when you look back on it, Chantel, whether we would have ever covered it and whether Tiger Woods' worst things about his private life would have ever come out if that initial car accident doesn't happen.
Agree. I think that obviously is a really important piece of the story and what made people so intrigued in the first place. But you and I both know there's a lot of crap that gets covered up between, especially things that happen in the household.
No doubt. Most of it never gets out. That's kind of my thing, especially with athletes.
Right. Yeah. I think that that was a pivotal part of how this storyline all unfolded, which is what makes me think that, wow, can you imagine any of your dark secrets being completely unloaded to the public? I mean, we already as people, just regular humans, deal with things and nobody has any idea about them. But then you add the layer of this publicity and now you can never run from it. I mean, you can never fully get over it because there's always going to be people giving you a hard. I mean, even you look through social media today and some of the really thoughtful messages, just asking for, you know, him to be on the men so he can play with his kids in the future, which is something that, you know, after the fourth back surgery, when people were so concerned, are you going to be able to win another green jacket? Well, forget about that. This guy just wants to be able to play in the backyard with his freaking kids. So even though I think that's a huge portion of it, it's got to be so difficult. And I'm not sympathizing with these people because I know the story. I know this whole song and dance. Oh, well, they make the money. They choose to do this. But we all deal with a bunch of crap in our lives that some people have no idea. And then to try to recover from that, I mean, it's an uphill battle for the rest of your life. So I just think back to, I mean, a lot of people are going to point to his most recent green jacket in 2019, but the Tour Championship in 2018, wow. I mean, what a flood of emotion. I can remember it was actually on my birthday. We were in a hotel room watching. I had just finished covering a Korn Ferry Tour Championship, and that to me is my favorite because it's all these young stories, not these hot, sexy names, but these guys were literally, before they even signed their scorecard, were pulling up the final round of the 2018 Tour Championship on their phone. Well, you'll remember at Eastlake, a flood of people came down the 18th fairway. And it's
yes.
just amazing to think about those things when someone can be so low in the valleys with the public scrutiny piled onto you and then get up to that point again. I mean, I look at that and I just don't know what compares to it. And just for context, by the way, because you know, I talk to some of my friends, and they're like, oh, Tiger Woods, yada, yada, and they always point back to his indiscretions. But, I mean, this guy, we all know people in sports, 82 wins. But how does that compare? Well, okay, Jack Nicklaus, 73 PGA Tour wins. So we're going from 82 to 73, and, of course, all he's trying to do is chase Jack when it comes to majors. But, okay, so let's go further down the list of most PGA Tour wins. Just to put this into perspective, Tiger Woods, 82. The next most of people who are still currently playing and have any chance of catching him is Phil frickin' Mickelson, who's over 50, with 44 PGA Tour wins. So that right there should illustrate everything you need to know about him, his career, his perseverance, and everything that he's battled through personally and with his health as well, which is, quite frankly, a miracle walking right now.
We're talking to Chantel McCabe, formerly of the Golf Channel, breaking down Tiger Woods. What is so amazing to me about golf, and I'm curious if you buy in with this idea, is people connect, because you mentioned Tiger Woods winning in 97, and we're going all the way into 2021 now. You mentioned Eastlake and what he did, and then obviously the Masters win. We're talking about nearly a quarter century where we have seen Tiger Woods evolve in a way that no other sport really. I know Tom Brady doesn't seem to have any sort of age with him, but there's not really any other sport where you can nearly spend 25 years watching, a quarter of a century watching the same athlete. And so much to me about Tiger Woods in general now is about the nostalgia factor of remembering watching Tiger Woods. And I think that's why people want to root for him so much, because it takes them back to a moment in their lives when they were rooting with him before that.
Yeah, it's definitely transcended across a couple of generations, which is really cool that you hear so many stories, like I was mentioning with Colin Morikawa and Justin Thomas and a lot of these other younger players who he's really taken under their wing. But they can share the same memories with their grandfather, because at the beginning of Tiger's career, it was just as exciting as it is now in 2021. But this is some real inside golf stuff. And to me, the most incredible thing he has done is made 142 consecutive cuts. I mean, that is unfathomable. If you're a golf fan, you probably already know that. But again, just for the perspective of people outside of the little golf bubble that I live in, the number one player in the world right now, Dustin Johnson, who's just as sexy as a name, and he's quite frankly like still at the beginning of his greatness and dominance, he missed the cut twice last year, just in 2020. So 142 times you're going to play in a tournament and you make the cut every freaking time. That is unbelievable. So there's no wonder that over 25 years, people are captivated by him, because he's usually always in the mix. Of course, if you get 82 PGA Tour wins, and oh, by the way, 41 European Tour wins. So it's not like he was mailing it in on a tour that people don't care quite as much about. I mean, this guy always brought his A game, and that is the reason why he is so captivating to your grandpa, your father, and yourself.
This is absolutely amazing. I appreciate the time. It's an incredible story. thanks for coming and hanging out with us, Chantel. How can people follow you, by the way? What's your Twitter handle?
Yeah, I think my Twitter handle now is just Chantel McCabe, which is C-H-A-N-T-E-L, for people who might have difficulty spelling it. But more than anything, I just hope that Tiger is not just healthy. I really do not see him playing. We always do this song and dance every single year with his neck, knee, and, of course, back injuries. But I hope, pray to God, that he's just able to get back on his feet, literally, and live his life as normal of a person as possible.
Outstanding stuff. We'll talk to you again soon. That's Chantel McCabe. I am Clay Travis. Eddie Garcia, what you got for us?
Well, according to a release Tuesday night, Tiger Woods is awake, responsive, and recovering at Harbor UCLA Medical Center. This after Woods was involved in a single car rollover accident Tuesday morning outside Los Angeles. The release also said Woods had surgery on his right leg to treat significant injuries that included open fractures affecting both the upper and lower portions of the tibia and fibula. Additional injuries to the bone of the foot and ankle were stabilized with screws and pins. Trauma to the muscle and soft tissue of the leg required surgery as well. There was no immediate evidence Woods was impaired in any way, according to authorities. There was evidence that he was likely speeding. A couple games of note in the NBA. We had the Nets winning their seventh straight, beating the Kings 127-118. James Harden, a triple-double for Brooklyn. 29 points, 11 rebounds, 14 assists. Clippers beat the Wizards 135-116, and Luka Doncic hit a three-pointer at the buzzer, giving the Mavericks a 110-107 win over the Celtics. College basketball, number two, Baylor, now 18-0 after getting by Iowa State 77-72. Now back to Clay Travis and the Farmers Insurance Outkick, the coverage studios.
Thanks, Eddie. Up next, my buddy Jonathan Hutton. This is Outkick on Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick, the coverage with Clay Travis.
Jonathan Hutton, he and Chad Withrow and Paul Kaharsky are going to be launching their new show as a part of the Outkick Over the Top Network on March the 15th for the first day of the NCAA tournament on March 19th. We're going to be doing a fun event in downtown Nashville. Details will be forthcoming in a bit. And I understand the three of you had a photo shoot to begin to get ready for the launch of the new show. How did the photo shoot go?
The photo shoot was awesome. Chad made us all look worse than we actually are because we all know how great Chad is at photo shoots.
Yes.
Here's my big thing, Clay. I wish there were standard sizes for T-shirts. Like, yeah. We have some Outkick shirts that are – I get larges. I'm sure you do as well.
Yeah.
I get larges. There were some that felt like I was wearing a medium, and yeah, others that I felt – they were just perfect fit. Like the D-Bat shirts were perfect. Outkick the Coverage shirts, perfect. And then there was other ones. I'm like, man, I may have to wear an extra large for the first time.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is a lot of that's not our call. And I learned in terms of sizing because each company decides like what their sizes are going to be. And I'll give you an example. When I lost $50,000 trying to sell pants, they were like, what size waist do you want to go with? And I was like, what do you mean? And they said, well, in order to make people potentially feel a little bit better about themselves, waist sizes are not true waist sizes, right? So you, let's say you think you're a 34. I usually wear between a 32 and a 34 waist. That's me. That actually is more like a 34 and a 36 waist, but the pants are crafted in a way to make you think you're not as big as you actually are. And so that can transition and translate as well into sometimes these larger contexts when you're trying on different shirts. It's wild because you may be, like you said, a large, and then you might be an extra large in other clothing. It's kind of wacky to follow to be quite often.
But let me say that the comfort of the Outkick shirt are by far,
we have great material,
the more comfortable shirts I've had. Yeah, they're great. They're awesome.
No doubt. All right. So a couple of things I want to get into. You, obviously, we're talking a lot about Tiger Woods, and yeah, I started off the show saying there was sort of a eerie echo of when you first heard the Tiger Woods news and you saw the car. You thought, I think many people did, about Kobe because of the LA location and the iconic status of both of those athletes. Did that register at all for you when you heard about Tiger? Did you reflect upon Kobe at all?
You know, I did, and it changed my mindset from this way. I wonder if you felt the same. So when the Kobe news broke last January, TMZ had it, right? And everyone immediately thought fake news, right?
Yep.
They thought, there's no way this is true. They better have their sources right. And they were the only ones going with it.
For a while,
well,
yes.
Yeah, right. For a little while. And then ESPN broke in, and we all knew then that the national media had it. Well, today, I see the reports of some local outlets out in California on Twitter being retweeted, unverified accounts. And I thought to myself, is TMZ reporting it?
Right, because you trusted TMZ in some way after the Kobe story they got right.
And the way it was reported changed my thinking on what outlets I go to.
Yeah, TMZ also broke the news years ago of Michael Jackson. I mean, they obviously have decent sources, particularly in L.A., which is where they're based. So the positive is Tiger Woods appears that he will be okay. I mean, obviously, that car accident looks significant, and there will probably be a substantial amount of time for him to be able to recover. Much less significant stories we're also tracking. The world of the NFL, ordinarily this would be NFL Combine Week. Instead, we are now talking about all these different pro days and all these different Zoom interviews and everything else. And there is the possibility that, of course, every year some draft picks are going to pan out, others are not. Isaiah Wilson last year was the Titans' first round pick, and he now basically went on Twitter, I believe it was on Tuesday night, if I'm not mistaken, and basically said, hey, I'm done with the Tennessee Titans. You've covered the NFL. You've covered the Titans for a long time. Is this one of the worst first-round picks so far that you can ever imagine having seen? He's only played four plays. Like, he didn't even dress for anything other than one game, I think. I think he got injured in those four plays. And he's had all sorts of issues that are off the field that would make you question whether or not he's ever going to be a legitimate professional in this league. What are you hearing? What do you think happens? And contextualizing, can you remember a worst first-round pick?
Not for the Titans. I mean, the guy's been an utter disaster. Let's take the four plays that he actually was on the field for a step further. Three of them were at the end of the game in Indianapolis where Tannehill took a knee. So those are three of the four. The other one was on an extra point where he was pancaked. He was sent packing. He fell down.
He injured himself in some way, right?
After the game, he was suspended for conduct detrimental to the team for breaking team policy on that trip to Indy. The guy, he's conned the Titans, is what he did play, because he was drafted to eventually start at Dennis Kelly's right tackle position. And when he got to camp, he was out of shape, overweight. At one point, they even took him off the practice field and sent him inside. Like, they just said, go work out somewhere else. And then during all that time, he's over at Tennessee State University partying inside the strict policies of what training camp was, where there was no preseason, and he's out partying and doing different things while the team members are trying to do everything they can to play the season at the time. We know now that they got it in fully, and this was before the COVID outbreak with the Tennessee Titans in Nashville. After that, he's placed on the actual COVID list. They kept him on the COVID list for nearly a month. It's the longest player I can remember being on that list. He comes off the COVID list and is holding a practice dummy for players while they get reps preparing for games. And then they actually put him on the roster for his first game in Indianapolis active. And he plays those four plays I mentioned. He's then suspended afterwards. And then after that week is up, he's placed on the non-football injury list. So consider that they're sending him to get help. But what they really did is they put him on a list, Clay, where they can't contact him. Like, they chose to do that. And that John Robinson can't just call him up. That is not by accident. They don't like mentioning the guy's name whenever referring to him. And after they sent him on the non-football injury list on New Year's Eve, he's out partying on a yacht with girls and having singles flying in the air while
strippers. He's making it rain
for a playoff game.
Yeah,
he's preparing for a play. The team's preparing for a playoff game. So they sent him away. They did not want him around Roger Saffold, who is a great veteran and a great mentor for younger players. They did not want him around Dennis Kelly, who is the team's NFLPA representative in the locker room. They didn't want him around Ben Jones. They didn't want him around any of the offensive players that could lend an ear to him and say, hey, let's get back on the right track. Instead, they sent him away from the facility and back to Georgia. I guess that's where he went, and said, yeah, prove to us that you're in shape when you come back in the off season. They wanted nothing to do with them, and they wanted him out of the facility.
It's a mess. Jonathan Hutton, I look forward to you guys debuting on March 15th. I'm glad the photo shoot went well. Thank you for getting up early with us on this Wednesday morning, and we will talk to you again soon.
Enjoy Mexico, Clay. I'm glad you can finally make it down there.
I will. Until my flight takes off, I won't believe that we're actually going, but that's a plan. This is Jonathan Hutton. I appreciate you, my man. When we come back, we'll dive back into the story that everybody's talking about in the world of sports, Tiger Woods, to start off the second hour of the show. And then we are scheduled to be joined by Jeff Schwartz, talk a little bit of NFL, but also he is a Southern California guy. We'll talk to him about the Tiger Woods story as well. This is OutKick on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of OutKick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.